Good morning. Welcome to Sunday School. Good to see everybody here this morning. And as you know, we've been walking through the book of Proverbs, looking at the major topics as they occur. So far, we've looked at the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, which was the first topic. And then we looked at the importance of acquiring wisdom and understanding from God's word. We looked at separation and friendships and peer pressure, number three. Number four, the blessings of walking uprightly. Number five, the fruits of foolishness and the contrast of walking uprightly that will be cursed instead of blessed. And then last week we looked at the two most common verses, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Great topic of Proverbs. Today, number 7, we look at finances. And Proverbs actually has a lot to say about our finances, and that we're still in chapter 3 as our kickoff. So if you look at verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So as you can see here, God commands us to honor God with our finances. And he also then promises a blessing to those who will trust him and obey this command. So we're going to look at some other scriptures, of course, in Proverbs and learn what the Bible has to say in Proverbs about finances and business dealings and so forth. So let's pray for wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom as we look into your precious word. I pray that we would learn things that would help us to follow your principles, Lord, and we know that if we would do that, you will bless us. And so, Lord, in this matter of our finances, of our business dealings, may we learn things and may we make sure that we are obeying your commands and your guidelines. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as he says here in the first part of the passage, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all that increase. So what God is teaching us is that we should give his to him first. And this is a principle all throughout Scripture. But if you want to look at a New Testament equivalent verse, it'd be 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. And I'll read that. And here's what it says. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So as we can see, God, again, as God hath prospered him, in other words, proportionately, and on a weekly basis, we are to honor the Lord with our substance, with what we have. And of course, he then promised there in verse 10 of Proverbs 3, so shall thy barns be filled. In other words, if we will honor God with what we have, he will then bless us. Now, this is, again, all throughout the scriptures. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running it over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So all through the scriptures, we're given this principle. But let's look specifically in Proverbs. So go to chapter 11 of Proverbs and verses 24 and 25. And we'll see that this is a consistent principle of God's word, that we are to put God first in our finances and we're to be a generous, giving person. And the word he uses here is the word liberal. So this is not a politics word. It means being liberal with what we have. Notice chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So notice, God says it's exactly opposite of the way the world teaches. He says, the more that we scatter, the more we increase. He says, but the more that we try to withhold, the less we'll have. And that's because it all comes down to trusting God. And then he promises that the liberal soul shall be made fat, and so forth. Let's look at some more. Chapter 13, verse 7. And we'll see this is all through. So there is that maketh himself rich and yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor yet hath great riches. So again, exact opposite of what people strive for and believe in the world. And then chapter 28 of verse 27, We'll look at another one where he says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." So again, he that giveth, he that's generous, he that's liberal with what he has shall not lack. So this is a principle all throughout. But now let's go back to chapter 3. And there's even more relative to our finances further down in the chapter. Look at verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 3, where God says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." So God, again, is making it very clear, if you have the means to be a blessing and a help to someone that has a need, he says, meet the need. Don't say, "I'll pray for you." Just meet the need. And so, again, this command to be generous with what we have. So let's look at some more scriptures in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 26. And we'll continue to learn. So notice 21:26, "He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." So the righteous, those who are right with God, those who are saved and have the righteousness of Christ, they are giving people. Chapter 22, verse 9. Let's look at another one. "He that hath a bountiful eye," that means an eye that's willing to give, "shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." And then chapter 25, verse 21. "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink." So we can see this is a principle of Scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at a New Testament equivalent. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, where God says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Look at the promise then that's attached to this in verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Isn't that good? All sufficiency in all things. So God promises there that if we will be bountiful with what we have and giving and being a blessing to others and giving to the Lord, he promises that he will meet our needs. So this is a consistent principle given here in Proverbs, but all throughout the scriptures here in Proverbs chapter 3. So those two things we've learned already about our finances, that we are to give God the first fruits. In other words, God's, what we give to God should come first, and that we're to be liberal or generous with what we have. And if we see someone with a need, we're told to meet the need, and God has promised us that if we'll do this, he'll take care of us in return. And again, given it shall be given unto you. So let's look at some more scriptural principles on finances. Go back to Proverbs again, this time in chapter 6, where God is going to teach us a lesson from the tiny little creature called the ant. So notice Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." God says, I made the ant and I taught the ant what to do, and the ant prepares itself for winter. The ant plans ahead. The ant saves, in other words. And so God is teaching us here that we need to be wise with what we have and to set aside some of what God provides for the lean times. So let's look at some scriptures on this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." So God here again promises that if we will work for what we have, we'll be more blessed. And then over in chapter 18, verse 9, "He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." So God is saying, look at the ant. Have you ever seen a lazy ant? No. Ants work for what they enjoy, what they eat through the winter. They work and they work and they work. God says, be like them. Work and save what God provides. And he says in chapter 30, verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So again, he points to the ant as an example to us to be willing to work for what we get, and also to be willing to set aside and save for the lean times. So that's three principles now, major principles regarding our finances, to put God first with our finances. His comes first, to be liberal with what we have and generous and giving and helpful to others when we see they have a need, and to prepare and save and work for what we have. Moving on, a fourth principle, chapter 11, verse 4 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, where God says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. What we're going to find is God warns us not to trust in our riches. Jesus gave warnings as well to the rich. Why? Because people that have a lot tend to rely on that rather than to rely on the Lord. And as we know from last week, we're not only to trust in the Lord, not in our finances. So God all through here warns us about not trusting in our riches. Remember the parable he gave about a camel going through the eye of a needle. That parable had to do with a rich man going to heaven. So it's tough for the rich to even get saved. Why? Because they're relying on their riches. Notice chapter 11, verse 28. And we'll look at some scriptures on this that we're not ever to trust in or even strive for riches. And we're not put here as Christians to strive to be rich. We're here to serve God. God will provide. Notice 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. That's pretty clear. Go over to chapter 15 and verse 27. Again, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. God says we're not to be greedy. We're not to trust in our riches. chapter 22, verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And then go to chapter 23, verse 4, where he really lays it out. Chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, where he says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. So that's pretty clear. Don't trust your own wisdom, which we looked at last week. Labor not to be rich. But look at verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Remember, God's in control. God is sovereign. God's always going to do his best for us. And he says, don't trust your riches. Don't strive to be rich. God can take them away like that. And he just may, if necessary. Look at a couple more, chapter 27, verse 24, where God says, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. Riches are not forever. Again, don't trust them. They can fly away in a heartbeat. Chapter 28 and verse 11, another one. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Again, the rich tend to trust their riches, which is very unwise. And then we'll stop there on that one. So what have we learned already about finances? And this is just from Proverbs. Put God's first. Be generous with what you have. Work for what you have. Save and prepare for the lean times. And absolutely do not trust in riches. God has promised us that he will take care of us. That's all through the scriptures. My God shall provide all your need according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. So another principle that kind of goes along with that principle is this. Most people will not be rich. Go to chapter 15, verse 16. The reason why that is because most people can't handle being rich. Because they will fall into this trap of trusting their riches rather than trusting the Lord. So God will meet our needs, but he's not going to make many Christians rich. And then he makes some beautiful statements along those lines. Look at chapter 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and what? Trouble therewith. He says treasures bring with them trouble. Great treasure and trouble. So better is little with the fear of the Lord, he says. And this is, again, all throughout the scriptures. Bible says 1 Timothy 6, says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So another principle is that not many are going to be rich, and if you have a little but you have God, be content. Because riches cause trouble. And as we saw in those previous passages, labor not, for this riches can take wings and they can fly away. So taking it a bit further, now talking about not only just the finances, but about business practices, which are kind of related, God gives us some principles there too. So let's go to chapter 11, verse 1, and see what he has to say about not only putting him first and being generous and saving and working for what we have, but be careful when we're out there in the business world that we are an honest business person. In all that we do, notice chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance, he's talking there back in the days when money was weighed or things were, it wasn't necessarily coins, but they would like weigh silver or weigh gold or weigh whatever, and they had, you had to have something on the other side to determine how much it weighed. He says that a false balance, in other words, a balance where you're trying to cheat someone, is an abomination. God doesn't use that word very often, but he uses it for someone who practices unfair business practices. It says it's an abomination to the Lord to have a false balance. Another verse, 16:11, we'll look there. The Bible says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. So again, he's talking about being fair in all of your business dealings, all of your financial dealings. chapter 20, verse 23. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord. A false balance is not good. So notice over and over, he's warning us to be honest and fair. We get to the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, Romans 12, 17. So we're to be honest in all of our business dealings. So we must always be honest. Well, that's the first thing as far as business practices go. Now there's some other warnings in Proverbs relative to business practices, and believe it or not, it's about loaning money. Proverbs even addresses that. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 6 again and have a look at an entire passage here, verses 1 to 5. Notice what he says. My son, if thou be surety for a friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. This surety word in today's language would be co-signing. God's actually warning to not co-sign, because you can just get yourself into more trouble. And he uses this word surety, or being a guarantor. He actually warns us about the dangers of it. So let's look at some other scriptures on this. Chapter 11, verse 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Go to chapter 17 and verse 18. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. And then chapter 20, verse 16. Again, a warning about being a guarantor or a co-signer. Chapter 20, verse 16. Look what he says. Take his garments that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. So God warns us to be careful. Then he warns us about the other side, and that is about being too hasty to borrow. Now, of course, they didn't have mortgages back in those days, but still, we're warned. If we're talking here about finance, we're talking here about business dealings, those things are even addressed in Proverbs, that we need to be careful about borrowing. So go to chapter 22, verse 7, and we'll see that this is even addressed in Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So the borrower is servant to the lender. So God here warns us about borrowing, that we must be very careful. We're told in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. So be very careful about borrowing. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, didn't he? So be careful about being a guarantor. We're talking here about business dealings. They must be fair. They must be honest. Always. Always you be a man of your word. Be careful about being a guarantor or a cosigner. Be careful about borrowing. And then lastly, chapter 28, verse 8. This one's an interesting one. Is if you do loan money to a brother or sister in Christ, look what God says about charging interest. So the word surety is an old English word talking about being a guarantor or a cosigner. The word usury is talking about interest. Notice Proverbs 28:8. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. So God here is warning us about charging usury to a friend. In other words, if you do loan something to a friend or a family member or a loved one, just loan it. Matter of fact, if you have the means, just give it. But don't charge interest. You aren't a bank. And God warns his people about this. Now, I know this is part of the law, but God was very particular about the Jews doing this to each other. And remember, we are Christians, and we're not to do things to each other as well. But notice an example in Deuteronomy 23. And I recognize this is the law, but it just shows God's attitude toward usury. Deuteronomy 23:19, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to do in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So again, a warning about usury. He even mentions it in Psalms, chapter 15, verse 5. So let's turn there. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. So again, he's warning us about putting it out there for usury. Charging interest we're not a bank. So, a lot of great principles here in Proverbs, the Book of Wisdom, relative to finances and business dealings. He tells us there in the beginning of chapter 3 to put God first in all of our dealings. And so, what we give to God must be given to Him first. We must set that aside first. And we must be very generous and liberal, as he uses the word, in our finances and being a blessing to others. God wants us to work for what we have. He wants us to set aside, to save for the lean times. He doesn't want us to trust in our riches, but to trust the Lord and know that better is little with the fear of the Lord, that most of us won't be rich. Because, as he said in 15:16, great treasure and trouble therewith. And we're to always have fair and honest business practices in our dealings in those areas. And we're always to be careful about being a guarantor or a cosigner, or as he says here, surety, and about usury charging usury to loved ones and brothers and sisters. So when Solomon wrote this book, he addressed a lot relative to our finances and our business dealings, and we can learn a lot from these principles. So thank you, and next week we will continue our studies in the book of Proverbs, looking at the major topics as they appear. And I know this will be a help and a blessing to God's people. So God bless you.